Thank you, choir. Good to see you up there. Take your Bible and go to Acts chapter 2. And we begin reading in a moment in verse 37. We are in a series on the church. We started looking at the owner of the church, Jesus. Then we looked at the head of the church, who is our Lord Jesus. Then we looked at the marks of the model church in Thessalonica last week. We come this week to look more at us, the members of the local church, and who we are as we come together, the parts of the body. Now, we're called varied things when you look in Scripture. Jesus said that the Lord is the vine, we are branches. And so he uses that illustration, that we're branches. There's one time he talks about, Peter does, that we are living stones. He talks about members, that Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and that we are stones built on that chief cornerstone. One of those illustrations used throughout Scripture is that he is our shepherd and we are the sheep. Now, that's not high praise, all right? Sheep are needy people, needy creatures, and so are we. He also uses Jesus as the head, we the body, the parts, the hands, the feet, the eyes, as we go forward. The bottom line becomes, in all of those illustrations, the church is people. People. It's you, and it's you, and it's you. It's folks that are redeemed. He says, my sheep hear my voice, the branches that grow and bear fruit, the living stones build structure to take the church. And on he uses the illustration, but all of those metaphors are us. It's you. It's you, it's you, and it's this preacher. The people of God from every tribe, from every race, from every nation, from every background, people. It's those people I want us to think about this morning. And we find in Acts chapter 2, these folks. Peter's just preached the great Pentecostal sermon. And he preaches fire down. The Spirit of God falls and baptizes them in the Holy Spirit, draws them unto Christ himself. And at the end of the sermon, Luke picks up the text in Luke 2 and verse 37. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, when they heard this, that is, they had heard Peter's sermon that you read in the verses beforehand, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent. Each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. Would you read that last sentence out loud with me and the Lord, where we start right there, that last sentence, read it out loud with me right now. And the Lord was adding to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. He was adding to their number. He was growing the body of Christ. We are family members, family members. I see from time to time people get married and they'll put a picture on social media and say, look at this new addition to our family. in-laws and outlaws, and here they are. Then people have children and grandchildren and say, look at this new addition to our family. Well, that's exactly what he's saying, that he added to the church day by day, and he's adding every day. He's added to the church today. He'll add to it tomorrow. The Lord adds, and it is a spiritual addition. Now, listen to me, church. You don't join the church by paper and ink. You don't fill out something to join. You may join an organization that way, but you are baptized of the Spirit. It is a spiritual addition, and God takes you and baptizes you into His body. And when that happens, you are then members of the ecclesia, members of God's church. I want us to look at some traits of the membership of the church. I want to show you five of them very quickly. There could be many, many more out of this text, but I want you to see these five this morning. Number one, members, first of all, are added to the church. That's where I was going, that we are added to the church. How are you added? Well, Peter answers the question in verses 37 and 38 after he'd preached. They said, what should we do? And Peter said in verse 38, repent, each one of you, then be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. How do you come? You come to Christ in repentance and believe. Then you are baptized. Then you belong to the church. You come to Jesus. You're added to the church. Listen to me. Just as Eve came from Adam and his rib, so the church comes from Christ and His cross. Jesus birthed the church. Jesus adds to the church. I don't add to the church. Jesus adds to His church. Just as Adam gave us Eve, so we see Christ giving us the church. You today should believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never trusted Him, I pray today would be your day, that you would trust the Lord Jesus, that you would come to Him and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've talked to people even this week, said, Pastor, I'm close. Well, come on. Come on, get in. Come and say, Lord, I believe. I receive. I take my stand as these two did, coming by baptism, that outward sign of that inward profession. Come to Jesus. Be added. The first thing about members is that they are added to the church. You remember when you were added? You remember when Jesus saved you? Amen. If you're saved, you can remember it. If you're sitting there saying, I don't have a clue. So my mama just told me. Well, you need to run to the altar. When you get to heaven, your mama's not going to be standing there saying, well, you know, Junior trusted the Lord when he was 10. He did it. No. You say, Lord, on my own. We come one by one. The only way you get in, it's addition. One by one by one unto the Lord. So first of all, members are added to the church, and you should be added as you come by faith in the finished work of Jesus at the cross. Secondly, members celebrate two ordinances. They celebrate two. And we find those ordinances in this text. Peter said you should believe and then be baptized. And then down in verse number 42, they came together and they were breaking bread, speaking of the meal together and the Lord's Supper. There are two ordinances in the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And once you come to faith in Christ, you should be baptized. Now listen to me. You should be baptized one time. Once. So they say, well, I've been baptized two or three times. Well, you may have been. But biblically, the only time you need to be baptized is after you are saved. You come to faith in Christ, then you're baptized. Some people have been baptized and come to the realization they never were saved, and then they come and they say, Pastor, I need to be baptized again. I say, well, you weren't baptized the first time. You just got wet the first time. All right? You did a thing. It's a religious thing. But when you've believed, then you're baptized. Baptism, it's emblematic, symbolic, of Jesus going in the grave, coming out of the grave. And that's what you're identifying with When you're baptized like these two words, John told us that you go under the water, dead. Come out of the water, raised to newness of life. You do that once. But now the Lord's Supper, you do it again and again and again and again. The Lord's Supper, we remember the broken body and shed blood of our Lord, and the broken bread is given. And here, most of the time, it was in the New Testament tied to a meal. It speaks of the nourishment of the soul. The Lord's Supper, now you're not going to get full eating the Lord's Supper. Not physically. But it is symbolic that you need to taste and eat. You need to eat of the Word of God, and you need to do it again and again and again and again. The Bible says as often as you do it. Do this in remembrance of what I did for you. The next time we're going to do this is in the back parking lot Friday night on Good Friday. I invite you to come 6 o'clock. You turn your radio to the right station. I'll lead us. We'll walk through. You can bring your own elements, or we'll have them for you as you come in, and you will take that bread and then take that cup, and there in your vehicle, you will take that. Many times, of course, we do it in this building, but because of COVID precaution, we're going to do it out there as we did one other time. And so you come together, and the church will celebrate baptism and the Lord's Supper. I'm praying we have people to be baptized that night as well. And we did it last time using that horse trough, and we'll baptize people outside, and then we'll take the Lord's Supper. Members, number one, are added to the church. Number two, members celebrate two ordinances. Number three, members love Bible preaching. He said, where do you get that? Well, look at it right here in verse number 42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. People today, they often ask me, Pastor, why can't the church just get together? Everybody get together. You know, Catholic, Protestant, everybody come together. Well, listen to me. Every time the church seeks unity, they always come to this verse or one like it, and doctrine is what leads the way. You cannot be unified unless you're unified around Bible doctrine. It's where you begin. And they started with the apostles' teaching, Bible preaching. I read one man this week who said in verse 42, there are four things there. There's the truth, the tithe, the table, and the throne. I like this outline. I'll preach it another time to you. He said there was the truth, it's the apostles' doctrine. There was the tithe, that's the blessed be the tithe that binds, that's our fellowship. There was the table, that's the broken bread that's there with the Lord's Supper. Then there's the throne, and they were identified with prayer. Bible preaching. I read one lady this week who said, I've never seen my pastor's eyes. I thought, what is that? She said, every time he prays, he closes his eyes. And every time he preaches, he closes my eyes. Well, I pray that you don't go to sleep during Bible preaching, all right? You remember last Sunday I gave the sermon, and in point number one, I walked down. You remember, I gave the invitation. We gave two invitations. Gave the first invitation in point number one, and my family is on vacation this week. They're not here, but Elizabeth usually sits right back there with her mom and daddy, I got to the invitation. Rachel told me at lunch that day, she bounced up and looked at me and said, is he already done? She's been in church enough to know when the pastor gets the invitation. We're almost home, amen. She said, darling, I'm sorry, he's just really getting started. She told me when we got home for lunch that day, she said, oh, Papa, you tricked me today. Well, she's just a young'un and she's growing up. And I'm telling you, the church, when you gather together, those that have been added to the church, those that are hungry for God, they love Bible preaching of God's inerrant word, opening the word and sharing that with the people. Some of you may have read a little blog I put out this week about things my mother taught me as my first seminary professor. When I was called at 17, she drove me 50 miles to Chattanooga to the old Baptist bookstore, what's called then Lifeway now, and now it's gone. And she took me there and bought two books, simple sermons from the book of Mark, simple sermons from the book of Acts, both by Herschel Ford. She asked the proprietor of the store, would be good. And he said, this would be good. And she gave me those. And she said, read and study. She said, if you're not going to study, quit now before you start. She said, we have enough boring preaching, and I've listened of it all I want. And she said, open the Word and be ready when you come. Well, I've prayed, God help me to do that. Members love Bible preaching. Number four, members are generous. We find it right here in the text, verse 44 and 45. So those that had believed were together and they had all things in common. They began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Here they are bringing their gifts together in the first meeting of the church. They've had 3,000 baptized. Now they're giving an offering. Having all things common, selling property and giving. I have read some commentators in a liberal fashion use this text for the background of communism. And let me tell you, you have to be a kangaroo hermeneutic to get communism out of this text, all right? I mean, you got to jump through a lots of hoops. I read one guy who said in this text, communism will put a new suit on every poor man. To which the gospel preacher replied, the gospel will put a new man in every suit that you can buy. That's what the gospel does. It doesn't start externally, it begins internally, and then we do things externally as well. You need to honor the Lord with your giving, and when you've been added to the church, then you're a part of that. Remember four things. Number one, everything you have, God owns it. You own nothing. Every good and perfect gift you have came down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no turning or variableness. All you have is of God. You ought to honor God with a tenth to begin and give that to your church. You ought to tithe that way. Then you ought to practice what I call over and above giving. That's like the Annie Armstrong offering, or when we get to Christmas, Lottie Moon, it helps foreign missions. Or as you give, we do every Christmas Eve, over and above giving to help locally. Over and above what we do with the budget, and always focus on the Great Commission with your giving. You ought to give to places where the gospel goes. Amen. The tithe should back the gospel as it goes forward. Now, I want to just give you a little glimpse here. I want to invite you, a week from tonight, we're going to have an Olive gathering, a family gathering. We'll dedicate some children. Got a gentleman's going to speak to us for a few minutes on the miracle of childbirth. Then we're going to have some great reports and things and testimonies, what God's done. And then we're going to adopt our new budget. Finance committee been working on it with Dan Beard. They took it this week to the deacons. Deacons dealt with it. It is as positive in shouting a deacon's meeting as I've ever been in my life this last Thursday night. And so we shared that. They voted unanimously to bring that to the floor of the church. Next Sunday, if you have some questions about it, you can come by at 4 o'clock and talk, and then we're going to do that here at 6. And the recommendation coming from finance and from our deacons and from leadership and staff is that we pay off every nickel that we owe, because we've got money to do it because of your giving, because of our outgo has been less, our income has been more. It's absolutely been miraculous during this COVID year. And so we have enough to pay the debt on the 6, 7, and 8 buildings. We are still owed some money out there to take care of the Corners building, the project we're just about to start, to pay for the roof that's above us, and we're waiting on the insurance deal, and to take care of the HVAC that we had to borrow that money on to take care of there. It went out on us. We didn't have the money set aside for that. So we'll be able to pay all of that off. You come raise your hand. We're going to take an offering. It's already in the bank, ready to do. It's got to transfer that there and burn the note, take care of all the debt. And that's a good day. Amen. I invite you. I invite you to come and raise your hand on Sunday night. And one of the deacons, I said, Pastor, it's a great thing. We don't have to have any debt. And I said, well, don't get too excited. I said, we still got the same pastor. I said, I don't know where we're going next, but we pray we don't ever have to borrow money, but if we have to, we're going to go with the gospel is what we're going to do to help us take care. But that'd be a great Sunday night and rejoice together. God's people are generous people, as you are. I hear that only 24% of Baptists tithe. That's the number that always comes to me. I believe it's higher than that at Olive. I can't quantify that here. I don't know how to do that, but I don't know how they come up with that. I know this, if every member of this church tithed for 12 months, we have to pray and fast for a month to figure out what to do with the cash. We really would. If everybody just simply brought a tenth, and then over is where God leads you, it'd be unbelievable what God would do. And it has been a remarkable year, and I just want to take a moment in the middle of this message before we come to this fourth or fifth point and say to you, thank you for being faithful this year. It's been a tough, tough year, but you've just kept on and kept on. Here's the parable that came to me, and I've shared it with several of our folks as I did Thursday night. I pulled into my parking hole out here a few months ago. We were kind of in the middle of all of this stuff. A gentleman pulled up in the pickup truck, and he got out, and he's an older man. He walked and he said, Pastor? I said, yes. He said, you don't know me. He said, I'm not a member of your church. But he said, I just been praying and I brought an offering. I go somewhere else, but I wanted to give something to this church. He said, I drive by here every day. And these were his words. He said, it absolutely would kill me if that church ever had to close. And I just want to help you a little bit and make it go forward. I believe that was a parable from what happened in the pews of our church this year, of everyone just stepping up and saying, we just need to do a little more than we've been doing. And people have given. Those that have never given gave. Those that were giving gave a little more. And we walk forward. Those that have had the hardest of times have continued to be faithful because God's people are generous. And I just want from your pastor's heart to say thank you and keep it up, because we're not done. We've got much yet to do as we go forward together with the gospel. Members are generous. And then number five, I want you to see that while members are added to the church, they celebrate those two ordinances, they love Bible preaching, and they are generous. Number five, members love each other. They love each other. Notice in verses 46 and 47, day by day they were continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, taking their meals together with gladness, sincerity of heart, praising God, and they had favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. No complaining, no criticizing, no envy, no strife. There was gladness and sincerity of heart. There was favor with all the people. Favor, this one, the body of Christ, loving each other. You've got your Bible open. Take a right and go with me to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. I want to show you just a few verses. I want to read to you about this and then give a gospel invitation. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. Look at this. Paul's writing about the body of Christ. He says these words, but now God has placed the members, there we are, that's us, the members, what we're preaching about this morning, God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it's much truer that the members of the body would seem to be weaker or are necessary, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God is so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the member which lacks, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care one for another. If one member suffers, they all suffer with it. One member's honored, all members rejoice with it. Now you are of Christ's body individually, members of it, the body, all the parts. 2 weeks ago, the call came to the pastor's office that my good friend Carl Berryhill, who's been waiting for months and months and months on a double lung transplant, was set, if he could get to Jacksonville in time, to have the surgery. For years, his hands have been cold, his chest hurt, because when they did the exam to get him ready, they found out he didn't just need a double lung transplant, he also needed triple bypass surgery. They rushed him to Jacksonville, got him all prepped and ready to go. They called and said, "We're sorry, but when we turned the ventilator off on the man with the donation giving, he continued to breathe." Well, you're sad on this side, but you're rejoicing for him. Next day, there was another donor, but it didn't match. So Carl and Ann started back, and they left Jacksonville driving home. Same lung, same heart problem. They were 90 minutes out of Jacksonville when the phone rang and said, "Can you turn around and come back? We believe we have a match." They exited, of course, went back. They sent us information at 3 a.m. The surgeons came and did a double lung transplant. 12 hours of surgery. After they did the double lung transplant, then the heart surgeon came to do the triple bypass. I told Liz, I said, "I don't know where." I said, "Can you imagine that team going in there? They got them all at 3 o'clock and they're rushing in." I said, "I'll bet you they're pumped up. They don't get to do this surgery every day." I asked a brain surgeon one time, I said, "Why do you do that?" He said, "Because I can." I thought, that's the arrogant cuss I want operating on me right there. That's the guy I'm looking for. Amen. 12 hours, double lungs. And then hours later, the bypass. Ann comes back in less than 48 hours. He's sitting in a chair. The next day, he's taking a little food. And a week later, he has walked 6 times to the nurse's station, back and forth. That's unbelievable. The Bible says our body is fearfully and wonderfully made. But let me tell you, the body of Christ is fearfully and wonderfully made. And every part is essential. Whatever part you are essential to the body of Christ. You say, "Well, preacher, I don't do much." Well, maybe you'll do a little more. But just do what God's called you to do. You don't quit. Fingers keep doing what phalanges do. Feet, legs, eyes and ears. As I've thought about this week, I thought, "Lord, there's people in my church need a lung transplant. Some of them because they're using their lungs too much. Some because they're using them wrong. And some because they need it to share the gospel." Do you know the Bible says when God saves you, He takes out your stony heart and gives you a heart of flesh. That's the illustration of the Scriptures. Before heart transplants were a thing, they were a thing in the Word of God. That God gives you a new heart when He adds you to the church. this morning, there's somebody here that needs to believe on the name of Jesus, because God wants to add you to His body. Somebody's here that's been saved, but you've never been baptized, and you need to come tell me, Pastor, I need to take that step like those two. Some of you have just been away from the Lord. You need to come home in repentance. Some of you have moved to this city and looking for a church home. You believe you found it, and you ought to formalize that today. Be a part of the family of God. In a moment, John's going to sing. He's going to sing two stanzas, two only. If 100 people come, he's going to sing two stanzas. Nobody comes, he's going to sing two stanzas. If a half a dozen comes, how many stanzas is he going to sing? He's going to sing two stanzas. After those two stanzas, then the tables in the foyer will be open, and this table down here will be open. I had more people come at early service to this table than they did come forward. Maybe that's best for you, I don't know, but the call of God's in this place, and He wants to add you. Add you. Add you. The Bible says He adds day by day, and He is going to add every day till the rapture. And today's your day, and God's calling you. So you come and do what God's called you to do. Come be saved today. Come believe. Come be baptized. Come belong to the family of faith. We're on our feet all over this room. God's calling. John's singing. I'm waiting. You're stepping out. You come. You come right now. Come on. While we sing, and God calling. Amen.